summer is around the corner. That means warmer weather, longer days, and the perfect time to really dial up your walking practice. Today on the Weekly Walk Podcast, Eric and I are going to talk about some of the reasons why summer can be so wonderful for your walking practice, as well as some of the safety things to be aware of. So no matter what the weather is where you are right now, lace up your sneakers and let's get going. Hey, Eric.
Hey, Joyce.
Do you know what I did this morning?
Got out of bed. Brushed your teeth.
Okay.
Flossed.
Yes. No, I don't floss in the morning. Do you floss in the morning?
No.
Do you know what I just learned?
What?
When I was this old when I learned this thing that has completely blown my mind and I can't seem to adopt.
Okay.
Apparently, you're supposed to floss before you brush. Who does that?
I have no idea. You know, I've never asked anyone.
Do you do that?
I have switched.
You have?
Yes, because you told me to.
I can't do it. I'm trying, but I can't do it.
Why can't you do it?
I don't know, because I have to brush first.
Why?
I don't know.
That's weird. Okay, but this is not the Walking is Good for Your Dental Hygiene podcast, is it?
No, but you know what? Walking probably is good for your dental hygiene.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. All right, so what did you do this morning?
I put on a pair of shorts and a tank top and walked out the door. Grabbed Moose and walked out the door.
You did?
Yeah. Do you know what I didn't do?
What didn't you do?
I didn't put on a jacket. I didn't put on a fleece. I didn't put on a hat. I didn't put on gloves. I didn't stop to think how cold it is out. I didn't worry about the ice. I just walked out the door.
Really?
At like 6 o'clock in the morning. And there was plenty of daylight.
Just a tank top?
Yes.
Wow.
Do you know why?
I do.
Why?
Because it's almost summertime.
It's almost summertime.
There's so many summertime songs.
I know.
They're all rattling around in my head.
You want to sing a few?
No.
You want to hum a few?
Summertime, 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 summertime.
See, I knew you would. And that was clearly the one.
That's the one that's been bouncing around in my head.
Well, clearly, obviously, because that's the one that I think bounces around in everybody's head when it's some summertime.
Yep.
So, walking in the summer, why is it that summer is such an ideal time for us to really amp up our walking game?
Well, spring leading into summer is all about like rebirth and rejuvenation. And I don't know if it's an age thing or an appreciation thing or a gratitude thing, but it does seem like the last, 10 years, I've been much more observant of like the leaves budding on trees and sort of the pacing of that. And where we live, our springs are tempered by the ocean, so the weather's a little cooler. It's warmer in the fall. But anyway, this time of year, when we drive an hour or two here or there, the level of budding, shall we say, of the leaves and the trees is so dramatically different. So I think that like that joining in that rebirth and rejuvenation is just a call to get outside. And, you know, the daffodils are poking up and leaves are on trees. And it's sort of saying, hey, come join us.
This is not just this year and not even over the last couple of years, but I've always loved the bright green spring leaves. And I don't know if everybody notices this, but the color of the leaves just changed through the summer. And at this time, they're that like bright baby leaf green.
Did you know that your eyes can detect something like 1,000 different shades of green? or maybe, I don't know, maybe 2,000 or 5, whatever it is.
Lots.
Like a huge amount. And our eyes are more sensitive to shades of green than any other color.
Oh, that is really interesting and funny because I talk about that from time to time in my walking class, which I'm now doing. If anybody hasn't noticed, I am back to offering weekly empowerment classes in the 99 Walks app. So that's been super fun. And one of the things I invite people to do is really notice all the different shades of green when they're out on their walks. So green is a thing.
Green is definitely a thing. And again, it's just that spring into summer is, and as you put it, with no jacket, it's just so inviting.
So inviting and easier. And our bodies tend to feel a little bit better. I don't know about anybody else, but I know I'm not alone. When I walk out and it's cold, my shoulders immediately tighten up. My back immediately tightens up. Especially if it's icy, I walk really carefully. My muscles are tight. Everything's tighter. You walk in the summer and your body's just like, ah.
Yeah, it's like basically you're already starting with your warm up. Like you're done with your warm up at the first step. It's like, all right, let's do our warm up for our walk. 1, 2, done. As opposed to sort of building up to it. And yeah, our bodies are just looser. I'm thinking of, you know, my posture and hunching up my shoulders and maybe even clenching your fists a little bit. There's none of that. It's glorious.
Winter is for clenching. Summer is for, give me a word.
Loosering. No. Unclenching.
I'm looking for a word that...
Flowing.
Yeah, summer feels more expansive.
Ooh, that's an interesting way to look at it, which is actually true, because this applies to all things, but the air in particular in the summer is less dense. Warm air is less dense than cold air. So... everything is
literally
looser, lighter, and more expansive. Exactly.
I wonder if that changes dramatic enough that you can feel it physically. It's hard to separate the air, the quality of the air from the warmth and all the other things. But is that difference in the air density enough? It's got to be. You know, our bodies are so miraculously sensitive to the world around us and to stimuli around us. You've got to be able to feel it.
I don't know if you can feel it at a conscious level, but I think you can, your body probably feels it on some level.
That's what I'm saying. I'm sure you can't feel it on a conscious level, but I'm sure your body is responding in some miraculous way.
Yeah. Yep. Years ago, and it always makes me think of this, when for my 40th birthday, a couple of my buddies chipped in and sent me skydiving. And my birthday's in July. It was a very hot day. So the instructor was like, well, this is going to be a quick trip. Because the air was less dense. So we went down. And usually he tries to land on our feet. And he was like, yeah, we're going to be coming in too hot. So we did a butt landing.
It's just on the list of things I just never want to do.
No, never.
No, I have no interest in jumping out of a plane.
Well, it was on the list of things that I wanted to do, and now it's off. Right. Like I have no desire to do it again. And and I sort of went into it with that attitude, and the skydiver, like sort of, or the instructor had like this canned joke. He's like, well, you want to do this more than once? And he was referring to the fact of us not dying. And I was like, no. I really just only want to do it once. I'd like to be safe and walk away, but I really just want to do this once. Anyway,
some people do it once and they just get addicted to it and they love it.
Not me.
I just know what that feeling would be like when I'm standing at the edge of the door thinking about jumping into the abyss. And I know how that would feel. And I have no desire for that feeling.
Well, I've mentioned this. You don't have to jump into the abyss because you are strapped to the instructor. You're basically an adult baby Bjorn, And the instructor jumps into the abyss.
I want nothing to do with it. Nothing. All right. Practical reason why summer is a great time to amp up your walking practice. You want the simplest practical reason?
I know where you're going here, I think, but hit me.
So many more hours of daylight.
So many more hours of daylight.
Now listen, you can put on some reflective gear, carry some lights, walk with your jetty poles with lights on them, and walk safely in the dark. But there's just no getting around the fact that it's not as appealing.
Yeah, I mean, we've tried many times to pick up our evening walking practice, and when it's dark, just forget about it, as they say.
No, we do it sometimes.
We do, but it's so much harder. So here's the thing. Now we need to really build the habit and practice of doing it. And then when it does get dark, we'll suck it up and throw on the headlamps or whatever we need and go out and do it.
And not to mention, when that does start to happen, it happens slowly and subtly. Mm. If you have that true practice and habit, it's just the winter's going to sneak up on you, which leads to the next kind of thing on my mind, which is summer is just the perfect time to build that habit, build that muscle memory, exactly what you're saying. If there is a particular walking practice you're trying to create for yourself, like for us, the after dinner evening walk, this is the time.
Absolutely. You know, there's just so many positives around this. And whether it's making it that regular morning practice, evening practice, lunchtime practice, like whatever it is, you're just afforded more opportunities and frankly, less reasons not to.
And for many people, not all, but for many people, their schedule, practically speaking, gets lighter in the summer. Clearly not for us. You tried to suggest putting something really, really fun on our summer schedule yesterday. And I was like, I can't pack one more thing into what is setting up to be a summer of madness.
But madness.
Madness. But for most normal people.
Well, that's sort of the other thing. With all the stuff that is going on and scheduled around us, actually there can be opportunities to walk more, to build your practice, or just squeeze more walks. Like we're doing a bit of traveling, and when we travel, it's always nice to walk around a new city, a new resort, and we've talked about this. So there's that option. But also in the summer, there's sort of things to do when you walk.
I was just thinking about that.
So there's fun walks and charity walks and 5K runs and walks.
Most of the 5K runs now have a walking component too.
Yeah.
Totally a thing.
And street fairs and flea markets and
farmers markets,
right, that you can walk through and come home with a bag of arugula and, you know,
and fresh baked scones?
Maybe, if that's your jam.
Or jam. Fresh jam.
And honey from
local bees?
Apiaried bees? What are you, raised bees? Farmed bees?
No idea.
Locally harvested honey. So all kinds of fun things to do. And probably also just opens up, you know, parks are more open and beaches and just so much more variety in the summer.
Yeah, exactly. So much more variety in your walking opportunities in the summer. So do it all.
Yes.
But. What about the dark side of summer walking?
Ooh.
There are some things to be more aware of depending on where you live and what the summer looks like. I'm thinking about those poor people in Arizona who come January are out in those t-shirts, tank tops, and shorts. And when I talk about loading up with the scarves and the hats and everything else, they're like, yeah, nah. I just get up every morning, put on comfortable clothes, and walk out the door. But in summer, the heat in many places can really be a factor that you have to be aware of.
Do you know the only state that it's never been over 100 degrees in?
The only state it's never been over 100 degrees in, I would guess a Dakota.
It's kind of a tricky question, but the actual answer
It's
is
Hawaii.
Hawaii, right? So
It just came to me.
everybody else, there's going to be probably a really, really hot day or two or 10 or more this summer. So yeah, I mean the heat can be bad.
So let's talk a little bit about heat sensitivity. The first thing to know is that your body works harder in the heat because, in addition to everything else your body does all the time, your body's working to keep you cool. Now, your body works really hard in the really cold, too. So, any temperatures that are on the extreme are forcing your body to work harder.
Yeah, but the heat in particular, because when it's cold out, if you're dressed appropriately, et cetera, you'll be fairly warm, and then your movement will warm you up, thermogenesis. In the summer, even if you're naked, like you're going to be limited as to how much you can dissipate the heat. Now, your body also adapts to this.
Well,
So over time,
let's
but
start with dealing with the heat
yes.
in the immediate, and we can talk about adaptation, but that is one of the questions is how accustomed you are to the heat. So early in the season, those first hot days, you are likely not super acclimated to the heat, and your body is trying to kind of remember how to sweat and dissipate the heat. And it's your body and also kind of your brain remembering, like, oh, when the weather's perfect, maybe I do 2 miles at this pace, and that's my thing, right? We always get concerned about pack members who say, I do X every day, because you have to be willing to adjust for circumstances. And what that means is in the heat, you really may have to dial it back. And you got to be okay with that.
Yeah, absolutely. We want to acclimate. We want to ease slowly into this, particularly on hotter days. And this time of year, we're doing this in May, so you may have a 85 degree couple of days, and then you may have a 65 degree couple of days, depending on where you live.
I was literally talking with Jamie about that this week. She's the director of community at 99 Walks. Many of you may have connected with her for one reason or another. And she started out as a walker, now she's a runner. And she said the weather in Virginia has been totally that. One day it's 40, one day it's 90.
Yeah. And we get a little, I don't know, I don't want to say spoiled again, but the water sort of moderates ours, so we tend to ease into our summer a little more than many areas. But yeah, so if you've been humming along at 65 degrees in the spring and all of a sudden you get one of those 80 plus degree days, yeah, you're gonna need to dial back what you're doing. It's gonna be a different experience.
Hydration.
That helps.
Why? There's your
You,
softball, so
yeah, because basically your body is a giant bag of water. So as we sweat, even if you can't always feel it, like I remember being in Las Vegas once playing golf actually, and like I was dry as a bone. And I was like, that's weird. It's 106 degrees. I barely sweat today. And then I took off my hat and I looked around the brim and it was just caked with salt because I would sweat and it would just immediately evaporate. So anyway, you're losing all those fluids and your body really likes it when you have the appropriate balance of fluids.
So you can't judge your need for water intake, your need for hydration. You can't judge it based on feeling thirsty. Don't wait till you feel thirsty because that's not a super good indicator. And don't judge it based on your perception of how much you're sweating. because when it's really humid, your body's going to work really harder or going to work harder to try to. So you, the sweat mechanism is part, a tremendous part of what cools us. It's like if you stop and think about it, what a fascinating system. When it gets to, when our bodies get too warm, they produce sweat because the evaporation of moisture pulls heat away. I mean, come on, that's just miraculous.
I was going to say that. It really is. It's yeah.
So getting on a good sweat can be as much a function of how much humidity there is in the air or not. So not, also not a good judgment of how much you need to hydrate. So the answer to that is just stay hydrated.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I saw another study across my radar that the preferred way or the most efficient way, dare I say, the best way to hydrate is small amounts of water continuously over time. When you like chug a quart of water or whatever, when you chug an entire water bottle, it starts the system, your body saying, okay, now there's too much water floating around in our thing. Let's flush out water. Greater need to pee, and it's just less efficient. But when you take in a couple ounces here, a couple ounces there over the course of the day, or over the course of a few hours or whatever, you are going to just do better things for your body.
Do you do that? I feel like you don't typically. Coffee counts, so it used to be for a long time, coffee is something of a diuretic. So the belief was that coffee didn't count because it works as a diuretic. But the more recent research suggests that while coffee has a diuretic effect, it's not significant enough to offset the water in the coffee. So coffee counts. You drink a fair bit of coffee. But I feel like you don't necessarily hydrate bit by bit throughout the day. You do when you're working out. You'll sip when you're working out.
I definitely sip when I'm working out, and I have not yet really developed the habit of keeping a water bottle at my desk or with me. So I wouldn't say that I chug water, but I drink it more, the coffee, decaf, a lot of decaf, sips when I'm working out, slowly over dinner. Those are sort of my main water intakes. I do make a point of trying to drink some water when I'm in the shower and I put my face up to the water. And I'll make a point of actually sipping some water
27 years, I've never known that about you. You drink water in the shower?
Don't you?
No.
You just put your face up and it's like a water fountain and you just have a few sips of water while you're in the shower.
Literally has
I'm
never.
multitasking. I'm cleaning and hydrating at the same time. I'm a multitasking wonder.
That's fascinating. Sometimes I'll brush my teeth in the shower occasionally, but I've never thought to treat my shower as a water fountain. But I'll think about that. I have a water bottle for you, one of the 99 Walks Core Value water bottles that's just great to sip from. I'm going to fill it up for you in the office today and put it on your desk and see if we can foster that habit. Maybe it'll help you sleep better.
Maybe.
Maybe you don't sleep because you're dehydrated. No,
No,
I don't think
I don't
so.
think that's it.
I want to talk for a minute, and we've covered this so many times, but it bears repeating. I want to talk for a minute about sunblock.
Okay.
Can we talk about sunblock?
Yes.
I finally have gotten into the grown-up habit of putting on sunblock, moisturizer with sunblock every day. Except today, because today's rainy, and on rainy days, I'm like, nah, I don't need it, which is not true. It should just be my habit and my routine.
It should be.
But the other thing that I've added, and this is really what I want to talk about, I typically wear my hair up in a ponytail, like a high ponytail most days. I sunblock my ears
Oh, yeah.
every day, the top of my ears. So there's some research out there that teaches us that your ears and your eyelids are places where you are likely to develop skin cancer. And we don't think about it. We think about our face. We sometimes think about the back of our hands, another place you should sunblock on the regular. But tops of those ears.
Yep, I have, particularly when I go to the beach or when I'm going to be out on a sunny day, I will sunblock my ears. It's something I've always done.
Good for you.
Yes. I'm awesome.
You're
Gold star.
you might.
Gold star for sunblocking my ears.
And sunglasses.
Yes.
So, can I share a quick story about my eyes,
Yes,
which
please.
I may have shared in the past, but I had perfect vision until I was in my 40s. Just I never gave it a thought, and as a result, I never went to the eye doctor until I was 40 something, and all of a sudden my reading vision just fell off a cliff, and I was totally afraid I was going blind because I went to an eye doctor who's terrific, and I said, if my vision keeps deteriorating at this rate, I'm going to be blind in like 2 years. He's like, take a breath, it'll stabilize. So it was the first true eye exam of my life. And he said, your eyes look really healthy. Everything looks really good. It's obvious you exercise and eat well and take care of yourself because apparently they can see a lot from the eyes. He said, but you have a fair bit of sun damage in your eyes. I'm like, sun damage in my eyes? That's a thing? And he was like, that is very much a thing. Polarized, good quality sunglasses all the time.
And you've done that ever since.
I've done that ever since. So I can't recommend it highly enough. And of course, different eye colors make your eyes more or less sensitive to light. But regardless of your eye color, all of us protect the peepers.
Protect the peepers.
That's my eye story.
Yep.
Anything else you want to talk about?
Yeah, I mean, I wear sunglasses. I have car sunglasses. I have good sunglasses. I have inside, a house like by the front door, just walking around sunglasses. I have sports sunglasses. So it's almost like reading glasses now because I have bathroom reading glasses, bedside reading glasses, desk reading glasses, junk drawer reading glasses, office reading glasses, upstairs office reading glasses, downstairs office reading
Yeah, but you know
glasses.
what you don't have?
What don't I have?
You don't have out in the world reading glasses because when we are out in the world together, you rely on me for glasses. You don't have restaurant
I don't have
glasses.
any place to put them. That's the problem.
I know, I don't either, but now I do because
You take your awesome waste pack with you.
I do.
So, okay, next on the preparation thing.
What do you got?
So, I said this the other day to one of our kids, and they acted like they'd never heard it, and I wanted to scream at them. Not really, but, the expression cotton kills, right? We use that for wintertime dressing because cotton keeps the moisture right on your skin. It doesn't wick away like wool or synthetics. And in the winter, that's bad because you don't want to stay wet. If you're outside walking and you're dressed appropriately, you'll probably sweat a little bit and you want to move that sweat away from your body to keep you warm. In the summer, cotton can be great because it is going to hold on to that moisture, and the evaporation of having that moisture around longer is just going to help you stay cool. So in the summer, light breezy cotton can actually be your friend.
Except it feels kind of icky. It's your friend because it gets damp and stays damp. So, on the one hand, it can help cool you. On the other hand, it does give you that sticky cotton feeling.
It does. It does. So, and speaking of that, with your clothing, you may also consider sun protective clothing because cotton, particularly some of the lighter weight cottons, you can actually get a sunburn on a sunny day through a cotton t-shirt.
This was big news to me a few years ago when I learned that all fabrics are not created equal as far as their ability to give you sun protection. And now there are so many great brands that have popped up with sun protective clothing, some of which are really light and comfortable.
Yeah.
I have two long sleeve sun protection t-shirts that are so light and comfortable. I pretty much wear them all the time.
Yeah, and along that same lines, just a quick note, if you're out and it's going to be sunny and you're walking in a warmer, sunnier time, wear lighter clothing. It's going to reflect the sunlight and keep you
Lighter
cool.
color, you
Lighter
mean?
color. Yeah, wear lighter color clothing. It's going to help keep you cooler rather than a dark color that's going to absorb that sunlight.
So my sun protection t-shirt that I, or long sleeve shirt that I love so much is black, which I know isn't so good. So then I bought a white one of the same thing because I love this particular thing. And then I ran it through the washing machine and didn't properly put it in. I don't know what was in the wash with it, but now it's all pulled.
Heavy sigh.
Heavy sigh.
All right, we're sort of running out of time, but a last thought is if you're going out and you're going to do a maybe longer walk, maybe more ambitious walk, just something that you want to do, and the temperature is warmer, just think about bringing a friend.
Same as winter.
Phone a friend. Yeah. If you're going to challenge yourself on just about any walk, but I think particularly in the summer when, the heat could be an issue. Bring a friend, and if you can't bring a friend, let someone know. Again, if you're going out and about in nature in a park, let someone know, hey, I'm going on this 3, 5 mile, whatever long walk today. I'll be back at 4. And if they don't hear from you, they will hopefully check up on you. And this is, an extreme case, but we always want everybody to be safe in the 99 Walks community.
I have a last thought, which actually we should have talked about, and we're now out of time, but don't care. The things to be aware of: feeling dizzy, feeling weirdly flushed, if you get real red in the face and it's not coming down, if you stop sweating, if you start feeling nauseous, it is time to find some shade, drink some water. And if that doesn't pass quickly, it might be time to really put your feet up. And ultimately, if you stop sweating, it might be time to get some medical attention.
Be safe out there,
Yeah,
everyone.
the heat is real.
Yeah, be safe.
So here's the thing. Every now and then, Eric and I wonder, is anybody listening? Does anybody care? If you are listening and if you care, I would be so grateful if you would take a moment and add a review, a rating, a something to wherever it is you listen to podcasts. Share this podcast on your social media channels, or just hit Eric and I up and let us know that, yup, you're listening, yup, you care, and yes, we are making a difference.